Hello, I'm Macron Ohio. This is episode 208 of On the Tropes. On this week's episode, we are reviewing Event Horizon, directed by W.S. Anderson.
Director of Mortal Kombat.
I forget how the
theme song. Future director of Monster Hunter.
He did something else terrible. I forget.
He did the Resident Evil.
Mortal Kombat's good.
The Resident Evil.
For some reason, I thought he did Annihilation. That's why I said that. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Annihilation.
Some people like it.
Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Yeah, he did.
I thought you meant regular Annihilation. I'm like,
I think he did that.
Oh, yeah.
He did it not.
Lots of people like that.
Things are coming full circle.
Bad.
Anywho, I'm your host, Nick.
Come on.
Sir.
Eva.
And Kyle. Gotcha.
So this is episode 2 of our pulls from the jar in which we've all submitted films to a literal jar that we have sitting right here.
He's rattling it to show that it's tangible.
It's full of paper. Mm-hmm. It doesn't rattle very well, but
sounds
like. It's a narrow-mouthed mason jar that only Eva can hands can fit into.
But only I can take anything from the jar.
Make sure to keep a card over it to keep them all safe.
We keep
what
a card
is it?
It is two Jokers. So
somebody's getting murdered.
Last time we pulled Event Horizon, which was one of Femo's picks.
I feel like he didn't realize that it was his pick.
I did not.
Yeah, you didn't.
What happened was when we made the jar, I panicked, and I thought
Event Horizon's your panic movie?
Because I thought the purpose was to write down something that you think somebody else wouldn't want to see. And I had heard Sir say, I don't want to watch Event Horizon. I panicked. I didn't know what else to write.
I see. Yeah.
So that's why I wrote
it's a good thing I can be here for like.
It's like the Milgram's experiment of movie watching.
Yeah.
You thought you had to inflict pain on somebody else,
yeah.
And so you just did it.
No, I like that. I get that.
So that's what happened.
I like that you try to stay on,
I was trying to follow the rules. I swear. They were wearing a lab coat.
And so this pick was mainly for Sir, who has to leave in about 5 minutes.
Okay. Wait. Yeah, well, my opening question to you was, we basically said for these things, we each threw in a handful of movies, and it could be any movie that's widely available. So this is on Netflix. It's been out for, 23 years.
That's insane.
It just came to Netflix, too.
Wow.
Did it?
Man.
I think it used to be on Prime, and then it might have gotten switched.
Yeah, I think it just came to Netflix like, within the last couple weeks.
Yeah. So, out of all the, thousands of movies available, why was this one of the two or however many you put in the jar? Why
I think you just said it.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, well, that's what... to torture, sir?
Well, I mean, not to torture... I thought that we had to do something that somebody wouldn't like.
Should I put Spaceballs in there?
Well, we've already got that up.
Let me add, though, that I do enjoy this movie. I do.
You see it when you were like when it was like around the time it came out
on VHS?
I was wondering about that because I figured
that was my theory.
Yeah, it sounds like people who really like Event Horizon saw it when they were kids. If they like it for like any kind of qualitative thing, if they like it just to make fun of it, then they like it. Then it's later.
Well, I feel like if any of us watched this when it first came out, we were way too young to watch it.
Yes, probably. I was,
and he was.
Yes, I was, and that's part of it. Is I saw this adult horror movie and. It was disturbing, and
it was good. It was a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I could see being a kid and being like, wow, this is the movie I should not be watching, so I'm going to watch it. Yeah.
We
are adrift
sci-fi.
Without Nick.
Well, speaking of adrift, there's a scene in it where a character is caught outside the spaceship, and he's probably... I mean, so you guys remember in Gravity when she... like it's flying away from the ship and he's like, you've got like probably 2 minutes before you're too far away.
Man.
Maybe like less than that, maybe like a minute for way too far away for us to retrieve you. So he's probably about 20 minutes out flying into space.
Yeah.
And he decides that he can
activate his
jets.
It reminds me of The Martian.
You know what I just realized? That's what he does in WALL-E when he gets out.
Yeah, they're basically the same. Themo, do you want to, before we get like too deep into it, do you want to like do a brief synopsis of what?
I'm back,
like
but my eyeballs are gone.
I'd like to do a brief synopsis.
Yeah, let's sort of do it.
So basically, there's this situation, like, if you guys have seen Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Lance, the one blonde guy?
Yeah, the one who takes LSD at the end and ends up with all the
little kids. Yeah, you know how he takes LSD? Imagine if Lance took LSD and then was imagining the ship, the trip down river, as like he was like,
that he was in space.
And a space horror movie. Because that's basically what it is. It's like an old school adventure story, like a lost ship.
We have a lost ship. Lost
treasure ship.
We have a crew that assembles to try to find the lost one. Got a
captain in Lawrence Fishburne. You got Cooper.
Your other buddy.
You got the guy who talks about the raptor in Jurassic Park. So you got all the people that are normally in an adventure story.
Alan.
The African
guy. Alan did the same thing.
Alan. Yeah.
What, are we talking about Lucius?
Maybe.
Lucius Malfoy?
I don't know. I don't know any of their character names. No, he's not.
Lucius Malfoy, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, he's in it.
Oh, wait. Man.
Sam Neill's the villain. He's kind of like the crazy guy that is leading them back to the ship that got lost in the Amazon.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just this. It's the same upriver adventure story that's been told so many times. Yet what's cool about it is that it's in space, and it is about how a ship gets lost, and it kind of goes to hell. And while it's in hell, it gets possessed by a demon, and then it comes back.
I like how you say when it goes to hell. Like, you're not meaning like it, bad stuff happens. Like,
it really goes to hell. It really does go actually to hell. It gets possessed, maybe kind of by Sam Neill, except maybe it's possessing Sam Neill.
I had some questions about that.
That was my issue.
And for a doctor, he knows like a lot of engineering stuff. Like,
yeah,
I think he's like a PhD doctor. But like,
what kind of doctor is
he? Yeah, I'd like to know.
I assume he's an astrophysics type. Because he designed the Event Horizon.
Yeah, that's true.
Spaceship biology.
I also will say that, so the character that's called out, I was talking about Cooper using his jets to fly back to the spaceship. Man.
Cooper comes across as a character that I see that you wouldn't enjoy,
you know, and that's what like that we talked. I watched it with Eva, and that was one thing that she thought. Interestingly enough, well, here's the thing: there's a character from the '90s, a black character called the Will Smith, that's based entirely around Will Smith's character in Independence Day. That's Cooper in this. He plays the Will Smith.
Was so like,
and he's like a weird character because on one hand, like I was like. The first thing he said, I'm like, man.
The first thing he said was when he was sexually harassing his coworker.
Oh, with the
coffee.
And
it was just like over the top, like, you know, Southern accent, kind of like cool Will Smith, kind of like whatever. And yet what happens with Cooper throughout the series doesn't follow that many racist horror tropes. He doesn't die first. Mm-hmm. He may actually survive till the end, even though it's heavily implied that
might be a dream.
That she might be dreaming that. However, he does also fly through space to rescue somebody.
He doesn't rescue anybody.
Well, he has an effect.
Inadvertently. Kind of indirectly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to draw a couple of parallels to what I thought was a great movie from last year, which is Ad Astra.
Because
it also has a scene in which probably like the one scene in the movie that I have a gripe with is somebody flying through space in a way that is just like, come on, you're going to have them do something else than fly through space in this nonsense.
They're not Princess Leia.
But the other one is that movie also is about a ship that disappears just past Neptune, and somebody else has to go and try to find it. Of all the planets they could have picked, I feel like that can have been unintentional.
Well, now Neptune's the last planet.
I was just going to say, it's a good thing they didn't choose Pluto.
But back then they could have gone Pluto.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, Neptune's in it. I like that. Planet Neptune. It's great. Yeah. It's one of the best planets.
It's a good one.
So do we all watch this for the first time for this?
Besides them.
I didn't like hate it as much as I thought I would.
I felt about it.
Yeah, because like when I was a little kid, I thought it looked really scary. So I was like, I'm not going to watch that. It's not really that scary.
I didn't think it was that scary either.
It's graphic. You said you got some trivia from it that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure this isn't
the negatives.
Yeah, a friend of mine actually worked on scanning the negative of this film a year ago, and he was telling me that the things that when they see the like what actually happened to the original crew on the Event Horizon, when they see what happens to like the demon orgy, basically, that there was like an extensive amount of that footage. Like,
oh, deleted scenes.
More than a half hour of it.
Yeah, right.
That's the movie I want.
Here's the thing, like.
A lot of maggots and like someone being
like a lot of penetration.
Yeah,
like hand to mouth.
And there's a lot going on in there. And so it existed, and the only place that we see it now, and it's not even like a deleted scene on, because the footage of it is just lost.
Did you hear where they found the footage? It was like in some salt mine.
That's where they store stuff because it's dry.
Like in,
it implies though that they needed to hide this somewhere far away
in Transylvania or something. like what? That seems
yeah,
weird.
Yeah. But it was You know what? I don't think I've ever said this, but you know, having a little bit more of the demon orgy might have made this movie make a little more sense. Because I couldn't figure out.
You think it'd make it more?
Yes, because I couldn't figure out if the ship itself was like some kind of sentient being now that was tormenting them, or if the ship came back with a demon aboard.
I think that's what it was.
Which one?
The demon.
I can't tell because I couldn't tell.
Wikipedia seems to be implying to me that is. The story thinks that the writers think that it's the ship,
and that's what the characters were saying.
Yeah, I don't know if that really.
But it didn't start out that way. I feel like it came. It was all this like because the ship can go through different dimensions and whatever, and it brings back stuff that I think it something was on it.
I also couldn't figure out if Dr. Weir, Sam Neill's character, if he already was like possessed in some way, or if he was always the devil disguising himself as Dr. Weir to get back to the ship.
I didn't get that, but I do agree that his kind of heel turn, because he starts off as like
a normal guy who's grieving.
Normal guy, kind of like passive.
Right, because why would he have the nightmares
at first?
At first, I thought
that's kind of what I was wondering.
His wife was on the original crew, and she was, he was trying to get her.
But then we see what happens.
Yeah, but then we see what happens to her. So that's, maybe you're trying to figure out why he, like, maybe he's trying to bring her back in some weird.
I said last episode.
Frankenstein kind of way.
Two episodes ago, I wanted to talk about Tarkovsky more, and that's what happens in. Has anyone seen Solaris?
No, but I kind of know what happens.
So Solaris, an astronaut goes onto a ship that's near some planet called Solaris, and weird stuff starts happening. And one of the weird things that happens is that there's like basically a clone of his wife who shows up, and he has a lot of guilt because his wife, he like neglected her and she ended up killing herself, which this has to be obvious. That's a very famous sci-fi movie. This has to be an overt reference to that,
certainly.
But like what you were saying, part of that doesn't, like, why would he be having hallucinations about his wife if he's actually the devil trying to get back?
But yeah, then, but then he, by the end, it kind of, when he, like, unzips himself out of the other character, you're like, was he always that cut-up Hellraiser-looking thing?
Yeah, and, like, did he
be... A similar unzipping scene, possibly that's in Cats.
Cats?
Does Cats take place on the Event Horizon?
Everybody who sees Cats is experiencing the Event Horizon.
So I like the idea of him, like, turning evil or becoming possessed because of the ship, but we don't really see that moment.
We don't.
It happens way too abruptly, whereas I think if you have him like going mad a little bit, and if they were to play a little bit with like, is he crazy or is he actually demon possessed now, I think that'd be a lot more interesting.
And everyone else who was witnesses this thing, they kind of kill themselves, right? Like Justin,
throws himself, like tries to kill himself.
The one girl,
she falls in a hole.
She chases her son.
That was the one that didn't make sense to me.
That one, well, they didn't have enough time.
They didn't
to
tell
build
you what
that
happened to her son that she feels
he's
guilty
still,
about.
He's still alive, right?
Yeah, because she said her husband had him.
Yeah, she's just sad because she couldn't see him for Christmas.
Right.
That's really so, good. Yeah, that shouldn't be.
And so she's like,
Feel that badly about?
It's not like she wasn't watching and he got hit by a car or something, and then she feels bad.
And,
it's
and
like
also that scene really, I didn't like that scene because it. You have this feeling that the characters are supposed to be compelled by what they're seeing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yet, the only what she's seeing seemingly like mesmerizes her past. Like,
it
broke
any
my
sense.
Suspension. Even within this film, my suspension of disbelief was like, no. She seems almost hypnotized.
Yeah.
Like,
she
just like drops this stuff. And like, realizing, okay, her kid was still alive. That doesn't make any sense.
I think Lawrence Fishburne's character and how he explained.
He had
to,
the most.
He had the only. His was the only one.
He explained it to the other guy and saying, like, who he saw and why he probably thought he saw him and their history.
And it was literal. The thing talked back to him about the thing that we already knew.
That was cool. But that was so different because, like, it's not like that guy tried to make Lawrence Fishburne. I mean, I guess he technically did. Technically. Spoiler.
Not in the same way. The girl, like, lured, or the little boy, like, lured the woman into a trap, basically.
But, yeah, but Lawrence Fishburne knew what was happening, like, the entire time.
Yeah, why does he understand about what's going on better than
I mean, other people? It had two things that I really, really liked, and if God forbid, they were to make a remake of this film.
I think a remake would be awesome.
I think a remake could be awesome.
If we had it, I think the two best elements are the sentient ship, like a demon-possessed ship.
Mm-hmm. Like a haunted house, but it's a ship.
I mean, and not just haunted, possessed. That's the difference. I think it was one of the writers or the director, Anderson, said that was his goal, was to make sure the ship seemed possessed, like it itself had come alive. And then I think, like, you know, I missed most of the cosmic horror episode. However, the coolest thing about Event Horizon is the smashing together of two kinds of cosmic horror. There's the, like, interdimensional travel, which is, like, scary in and of itself, like, cosmic horror, sci-fi horror that way. And then there's the, like, what is it? What's it called? And I'm thinking of a Harvey Keitel quote that I don't know the movie from. The spiritual side. the terror and pain and of the spiritual side of, like hell.
Existential.
Hell versus, like, this, like, sci-fi, like, element. Mm-hmm. I thought was really interesting, like, kind of blending those two. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a few ways to redo this movie to make it. I mean, I had fun with the movie. It's not like a masterpiece or anything, but I think there are a few directions you could take it where it, like, does approach masterpiece.
More demon orgy.
Yeah. So that's one is I'm not the horror guy here, but to just go, like, balls to the wall, like, crazy.
Literally.
Fucked up. Just make it, like, yeah.
No. I'm a fan of medieval torture. Yeah.
Exactly. Just make it, like, where you take it, like, one version is where
I don't need to be ultra violent, though.
Where you make it, like, just hell. Like,
yeah.
Well, and I think that's what they were going for.
Dante's Inferno.
Yeah. Like, you just go full.
I mean, it did have a lake in the middle.
This is a trip to hell. It's awful to watch.
Sure did.
Oh, yeah. So that's one way to take it. One way to take it that may not work, or it, like, would be more culty, is, make it like the possessed ship to Hao Su's haunted house, where it's, like, kind of goofy and campy, and it has weird, like,
say goodbye to the listeners.
Oh, yeah. Seriously.
Listeners, I'm out.
Peace. Drop the mic.
Bye, sir.
That was the collective listener.
Hi. We'll see you.
Bye, buddy.
None of you guys have seen Hao Su, right?
I haven't. I saw the house movie with William Catt, but that was it.
This one has a cat in it.
But it's not William Catt.
No. I mean, his name may be William the Cat. But anyway,
he doesn't have that beautiful blonde curly hair.
That's like a very, like, campy movie, and I think doing this in, like, a fun campy way could work.
Oh, I was thinking more like a really almost like an Annihilation type.
So that's the third way, is to do it, like, kind of slower, more like meditative, like
psychological,
less visceral, more meditative.
So like Annihilation or Stalker-y or Solaris-y.
So let me throw this out as. I would combine the two. I would make it slower, stalkery, zero things visceral until you hit the blood orgy scene, and then it's going to hit you like a freight train.
almost like a Cabin in the Woods, like, type change of genre.
Well, where it's like, I mean, kind of, but done intentionally. So, like, maybe have a little bit of blood earlier on just to say, like, this is on the table, so you don't completely alienate them. But
that's a great moment in the movie, is when I forget which character it is just walking through, and they're like, oh, there's a little bit of blood here. And then the light behind them, there's
that
blood
was awesome,
everywhere.
Right? Yeah. I did the Cyclops accidentally. See, I need to get that out of my gesturing.
But that's a great, I mean, there's a lot of, there's a lot of great moments in this movie. That one's my favorite
one. When Samuel says that he's home, and then he kind of, like, disappears into the shadows. Like, it's so creepy.
Or where we're going,
we don't need eyeballs.
To see. It's a great line.
Yeah, I didn't really know anything about Event Horizon until I watched a, like, review of the Ricks Must Be Crazy episode of Rick and Morty.
Now, which one was that? Because I felt like there were more than one Rick and Morty episode
The one with the batteries where they...
The ship.
Yeah, and then so the ship had to keep Summer safe.
Right, and the little boy.
Yeah, the little boy, yeah. And so, yeah, everyone has loved ones, and they can all be taken away or whatever. They can all be brought back, they can all be taken away. Yeah. But I remember watching that, and the guy reviewing it was like, this is a direct homage to Event Horizon. I was like, oh man,
I thought of the one
I need to see this movie because it sounds incredible. Like, a ship that can make you like bring back your memories and use your memories to like drive you insane.
Yeah. Mm. I thought of the there's one where they have the like toxic version of themselves. When they get the phone, when he gets the phone call from himself and he like listens to it the one time and it's just like screaming, and then he's like, oh, I isolated my voice out of here, and then he can hear it again. It's the same way they were retrieving that rescue call.
Yeah.
Liberate tutume.
I like that too.
Yeah, and that's cool. Yeah. I feel like once the like toxic planet took over on that episode, that some of the imagery, like with everybody in the church orgy in that one, was kind of similar.
I mean, it finds its way into one of the South Park Christmas episodes, like when Kyle...
With the critters?
Yes. And they have a blood orgy. Like, yeah. That's exactly what this is. Like,
yeah.
Can we talk about the acting? Because I think that this movie is carried a lot by... how good each of the actors.
Definitely.
Yeah.
They're good.
This could have been schlock, and then like it really elevated it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sam Neill's a really underrated actor. Like, after having seen a few more of his things, like his Possession recently, The Piano.
His character in this does, like, rewatching it, or not rewatching it for the first time, but like, he came across as just like Grant from Jurassic Park to me, but like that's a good character for him. Like, he's like the scientific guy who...
Well, that's how he starts, but obviously he...
Yeah, he turns into something kind of crazy, but when he starts out, he's just like that guy who's like, we don't really know what's going on, but we just have to keep going.
Right, he
like,
was the just came driven, across as like driven Grant. By his mission, and he just wants to find out what happened to his ship because he built it. And I can't figure out at the end... Did he change? Did he get possessed by a thing that turned him into the other thing? Or was he always the demon?
When I was talking about earlier with everyone like was driven to kill themselves, like why wasn't he? Like why is he so much more intelligent?
I think he was always... He already knew.
Yeah. That might have been part of it inside of him, and he was susceptible to it. But let me say this, is that with cosmic horror, I'm okay with not having the answers to a lot of these things.
Cause that's what's awesome.
Part of it is that it is beyond what, you know.
Yeah.
Sorry. That was all. That was my two cents.
No, I agree with, like, I don't need it literally explained, but I do think it would be better if we had a better idea of how he...
The rules of the horror.
Yeah, like, why he got that bad. Like, was he always that bad, or was he just someone who's predisposed to being that way? And I feel like it's the latter, where he started off as just a normal but troubled person who... went a little bit further, but I still don't understand how it makes like emotional sense as to why everyone else
a suicidal reaction
to it, whereas he's like, yeah, fuck yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
He's home. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really... I feel like there needed to be...
In a weird way, something in his history where he tried to kill himself before or was a cutter.
Mm-hmm.
That he embraces this hell realm because he feels so guilty about what he's done. So
he survived it and saw hell and wants to go back somehow, made some kind of bargain. But I thought of, when I was like writing stuff down as I watched this, I was like, so was he always the scratched up? And I went, Scratch.
Oh, old Scratch.
Yeah. That made me think, okay, he was always the devil. He built this ship to go to hell.
Oh man, almost like an Angel Heart thing where he doesn't remember like being the devil.
I think does. I think that this, he was acting like Dr. Weir.
I think,
but then the wife doesn't make sense.
Yeah, the wife stuff doesn't make sense then. Yeah. So I think, like, what is this movie about? Like, about in the bigger sense, and to me, it's like PTSD and like how our traumas.
Always haunting.
Always haunting.
Former.
Yeah, and that's kind of like how the end is too. Like, to me, at least the way I read the end is, you know, she, Stark, is that her name? Stark, Julie Richardson's character, has like a nightmare or hallucination where they're actually like not free, and then somebody arouses her and she is actually on the ship and they're okay.
They're trying to tell her that they're okay.
Yeah, she's physically okay. But to me, that's saying that like that part is literal. Like, she is safe on the ship physically, but the things that happen to her will traumatize her for the rest of her life.
I thought that she had the same kind of dream that Dr. Weir had. When they show Dr. Weir waking up out of the stasis,
you're right.
Yeah.
He had the same kind of nightmare, and then it he snaps out of it with the other person trying to shake him out, trying to wake him up and say, you're okay.
Are you thinking that that's he passed on it to her?
She's got it now.
Yeah.
Because she wakes up the same way he did.
That's fascinating. That's a really good... That's a real...
Yeah.
I mean, you can stand on that interpretation.
Yeah. So to me, it's all about how our traumas affect us, but how also how they like kind of infect our relationships with others.
And for me, like Lawrence Fishburne's character is the only one that I felt like was the movie told me what it was, and then he acted that way also.
Yeah, he was a very different character from everyone else, and like not for worse or anything, but he like stood out as someone who.
Yeah, I liked that it didn't have the crew turning on each other.
Yeah.
That is that's a place that these movies go to very often when we have like the upriver adventure where people start one person goes crazy and they like.
I mean, it happened with the previous crew with the sex orgy.
Right.
Yeah.
That's usually what happens.
Demon orgy, sorry. Sex orgies are normal.
Yeah. Kind of
sex
orgy. Yeah.
Most orgies are sex orgies. Depends on what you're into. Yeah. I mean.
But I liked that part of it. I thought that was really.
I liked how they behaved like adults.
A
natural for the most part.
Except for calling one of them Baby Bear and one of them Mama Bear.
Yeah,
I was okay with that.
Something that really kind of bothered me, and it's weird because it's such a strange movie, but the science of like them being caught out in the atmosphere and still like being alive. Like the Justin kid, like being out in space for a few, like several seconds, maybe a minute.
Battlestar does the same thing, and apparently you can survive like briefly.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
for like a few seconds.
But then when what's his name like busts through the window, and they're just like flying out and like holding on to things, and like aren't they being exposed to atmosphere like that entire scene?
Not entirely. So that's decompressing. But it's not fully decompressed because you're.
I just assume like anytime you're in a spaceship in a window or something gets breached.
Surely, if it's dangerous on an airplane, it would be dangerous.
In space, it's dangerous. But they're just like that was like really windy back there. I'm okay now.
Yeah, it was a little implausible, but
that sort of thing bothers me. Yeah, that sort of thing bothers me less, especially in a movie in which we're led to assume that the ship went to hell.
I know.
Or like in a movie where we've already seen Lawrence Fishburne pluck someone out of space.
Yeah.
So something that I want to bring up before I forget, because I love it, is the set design.
I was going to say the same thing.
This is great.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
It reminded me a lot of like Alien a little bit, where really like.
I have Alien written down in my notes, and I also wrote down a movie that came a couple years after this. It looks a lot like the Nebuchadnezzar from The Matrix.
Did you see? Did you hear what he modeled it off?
Because Lawrence Fishburne's there.
Yeah. The Lawrence Fishburne looked very similar to the Lawrence Fishburne in The Matrix.
Speaking of which,
the Notre Dame. Cathedral is what it's based on.
The external, yeah. So you have all those. I don't know about. I assume the internal too. It looks very
well. The hallway of the main thing is basically like the aisle of the cathedral
with the arches.
Yeah,
because
that reminded me of that. That's when I was like, oh, this looks like Alien.
Yeah, but that kind of, and that was the before I like realized it was Notre Dame because I had heard that and forgot it.
It's like a lot of religious themes going throughout the whole thing, but
well, exactly that. It's like this juxtaposition of spiritual and like science, and it's like this weird bastardization. It's very off-putting.
Yeah,
but it's weird that they also take like a spiritual horror of being tormented by your memories or things that you've done wrong in your life or something like that, which happens inside your head, to making them physically real. Like, it's a physical place that the ship went to, and these are physical tortures that happened to the original crew. It's a weird, like, it's spiritual, but it's also tangible.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a way that I think that most people in this century don't conceptualize hell quite that way. As if like a geographical place.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was going to say, speaking of Lawrence Fishburne and spaceships, I had an idea, and I don't think it works chronologically unless the Event Horizon can time travel, which it might.
Kind of.
That Lawrence Fishburne is the same Lawrence Fishburne that he is in Predators.
Dude.
That's where the ship ends up.
Yes. Or the predators go to the hell planet and they just like pluck a bunch, like,
or the predators could get there too. Yeah, who knows? But I was
oh my god,
what if he's the same character? Like, what if that's where, you know?
I got to see if they're the same name.
They're not, but they can't be. But I was like, it might be.
I mean, like, the chances are zero, but what if?
But it would be, I feel like we could plant the seed somewhere. We could make a convincing YouTube slideshow about this and, like, start people thinking.
Spread an online rumor. Or,
oh, my God, I love that idea. Because it would make, like, or they, instead of jumping back to hell.
They end up on Predator Planet.
They end up on Predator Planet. Oh my gosh. He plays Noland.
Got some fanfic coming.
He could have changed his name.
He forgot his name because he, you know. Mm-hmm.
So everyone is thinking that the ship was actually possessed and not, there was no like celestial being on. It's unclear in the movie, but
I think
it's something that, like, that's more effective to each of us.
I honestly think that it didn't come back with something. It came back as a shell. And whatever caused it to happen got started when Baby Bear, Justin, somehow...
Like jumps.
Yeah. And that opened up whatever passage for...
Because he does talk about what he's talking about, like the dark or something.
He just calls it the darkness.
Yeah.
At one point he refers darkness. To it as like an as a person when he comes back.
That's cool.
Yeah,
there's a couple times they refer to it as the ship.
Yeah, like, the characters do.
Yeah.
And I think, but for me, I was like, this is just, it wasn't clear to me all the way.
And I
feel like there's a common theme with cosmic horror in general.
And I'm cool. Yeah. I'm down to clown with that. I don't know, maybe there's like a unifying theory. It bums me out about the ending though. I will say that. Poor guy.
Which guy?
Oh,
Lawrence Fishburne's character. Yeah.
Yeah.
He just dies, though, right? It's not like
I think he goes to hell.
Well, it explodes, which in theory separates, like, they blew up, like, the hallway, basically, of the ship. So we've got the three survivors going that way.
He
and Dr. Weir are
on the way
possibly dead, but possibly through the hole, and who knows where.
But his interaction with what he runs into... He kind of, like, accepts his fate, though, and, like, kind of, isn't like, the big theme is, like, kind of confronting your past.
Yeah, your trauma
and everything, and he literally, like, he's one of the only characters that really confronts it and, like...
You're absolutely right.
And, like,
you're
absolutely interacts right. with it and not just falls down a
Well, he tells
shaft.
It it's not real. Like,
yeah.
He says it's not really you, and it isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, he dies, but he also dies probably
better off than anyone else would have. Yeah.
I got to say, for him, he plays, I loved his performance. Out of all the performances in this movie, his was my favorite because he was playing not just like the guy in command who's worried, but then under like who's like worried for his crew. But under that, I also got a sense of like anger and frustration, and under that, like a fear of himself, like for himself. I don't know. He was like he had layers going on,
right? Yeah.
Like he hated the doctor at first, and then he was like needing him, and then he was like helping his crew, and then he was awesome. At first, he came across as just that guy that was in that swivel chair, just telling people what to do.
It was a good chair.
Yeah, it was an awesome chair. Like
that's what I like. The part where they were powering the ship back up, and it was like the chair turned. I was like, "Well, the chair's working. I guess we can go." Yeah.
I want one for my condo.
Incredible.
Any other questions or concerns?
I dug it.
I love this movie.
So where do you go?
I was surprised at how like not cheesy most of the special effects were.
Yeah, not all of them hold up, but I mean
the late 90s like CG bubbles.
I mean it's 4 years or 5 years after Jurassic Park, so I mean.
Yeah, but I mean there's stuff from this year that I think had bad CG in it, so like what are you going
to
do?
There's stuff from the Marvel Cinematic Universe that looks ridiculous compared to those.
Yeah.
Like Hulkhead and Iron Man outfit. Bruce Banner when he was wearing the Hulk
Smasher.
It looked like Photoshop.
Yeah.
I don't even remember that.
It was in Infinity War.
It was like
94 movie hours ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Theme parks. Kyle, if you had to rate this movie using whatever rating system you want, where would you go?
I think I'd give it... I can't think of anything creative.
Thumbs up or thumbs down?
3.5 thumbs out of 5 thumbs.
A lot of thumbs.
It's kind of gross. I'm picturing you as a serial killer.
I was trying to incorporate the demon orgy, but I didn't want to do that.
I'm glad.
Eva, how about you?
On Letterboxd, I gave it 3 out of 5.
Okay.
Nice. I would say see it.
Okay.
On a see it or don't see it, see it. I think it's worth a
watch. I'm glad I saw it.
Yeah.
I am leaning towards either a 3 or a 3.5, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't...
Nice.
Before you guys even said, I was thinking, like, 3 and a quarter. Yeah. I'm not really sure which way I lean. I'll probably go 3.5 on nice. Letterboxd. I wrote, like, just a little one sentence. Not even a review.
If you're jonesing for cosmic horror or like, oh, I've been through all the Alien movies a million times, I want to see something a little bit like it.
Or if you want to see Sam Neill being awesome.
I mean, it's fun, and I was worried that it was going to be, like, I'd heard that it's terrifying, and maybe it's because I knew where it was going ahead of time, but I wasn't terrified. It had creepy...
A couple quick moments that were a little scary.
It had a few creepy moments, but not enough that I was, like, suffering through the movie. Right. Like, I mean that in a good way, because I don't, like...
I enjoyed it as I was watching it, as opposed to like being horrified.
Right. Yeah. Like I think the movie, fun with it.
I think the movie could have been like an hour longer and like would have actually talked about the characters.
I wish
like
the characters had talked more.
Yeah. And like you learn more about them. Yeah. Then it would have been a little
like, why did the one dude know Latin?
You guys always wanted to make your movies longer.
Smart guy.
I do. I want to make movies longer.
But that's a specific kind of smart guy.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you.
I mean,
Eva always complained about movies being too short.
Yep.
Yeah. No. I don't like long movies usually.
Yeah.
Irishman's an exception, I guess.
Which is in here. It's a possibility that that's what we get. We're rattling the jar.
I thought about having a really crappy movie on there, but... And this pick is...
That one.
La Jetée.
Yeah.
Nice.
I know that's on Canopy.
I don't have Canopy.
You can guess.
This is a good one because it's like 20
minutes
short.
Long. It's 28 minutes long. Let me see where it is. It's my favorite movie of all time. It's on the Criterion Channel and on Canopy.
Okay.
It is 28 minutes.
We're putting the room, the setup, and the social network back in.
Also, I think I put Jurassic Park in there, and I don't think that that's why they're available either.
It might be on Disney now, right?
No, that's not
I don't think so. Anyways, La Jetée. I love it. Get prepared. I'm pumped. I'm pumped.
This is good. Great imaging.
Yeah. All right.
We're sticking with sci-fi, man. That's crazy. Okay.
Whatever. I'm Nick.
Whatever. I'm Thumo.
And Kyle.
Whatever. I'm Kyle. And Eva.
Oh, La Jetée. I'm so excited.